So check this out, man. We're going to talk about change in that center, and there's two things that we're going to hit on that are massive. And the third week, we're going to talk about the importance of these two things and why you want your heart to really be changed and how to understand the Word of God in your life. But today, the very first thing we want to talk about is prayer. I want you to look at your neighbor. I want you to look them right in the eye and say, I don't pray enough. Go ahead and tell them that. Go ahead and confess it. Because how many of you guys have noticed that even if you pray a lot, you still feel like, man, I could pray more. You guys ever noticed that before? Yeah. I mean, no matter who you are, you always feel like, man, I don't pray enough. And there's a reason for that. And the main reason is you know the benefits of prayer subconsciously. You know that prayer. I mean, my father and my team, we do this thing and with missions teams. And throughout the summer, by the way, I should be promoting that. If you want to be a part of training up other churches how to do ministry, I want you to, I don't know, hit me up later or something. I don't know. But every summer we have missions teams from around the United States come down here and we train them up. And one of the things we train on is how to pray. And that's a crazy thing to train on. It's a real short thing that we do. I'm not going to explain it all. But one of the subjects that we hit on is when you're praying, you're talking to the creator of heaven and earth. You ever think about that? Like, you know, I got Facebook and Instagram, right? And so there's like, you know, some of us have 200, 300, some of us have 1,000, some of us have, you know, some of you guys are famous people, you got like 10,000 people following you. And it's crazy. It's like sometimes it blows my mind. You have the attention of 1,000 people, and have you ever read what people post on Facebook? It's like, that's what you want to say to like the platform of 1,000 people. You know, you'd say, I don't know. I can't even make something up. You guys have been on Facebook. You know what people are saying. It's like, hey, that's what you want to say. But I feel that way sometimes with prayer. Like, you know, sometimes we just kind of do this automated, you know, I lay my head to sleep. Something about Bo Peep. I don't know, I actually know that rhyming prayer. But, you know, like we do these prayers, you know, my dad always brings this one up, and I love it. He always says, you know, you go before the creator of the heavens and earth, and you pray over your cheeseburger, bless the hands that made it. You know, it was a machine that made it, by the way, you know. But it's like, that's what we're praying, and we got to like, yeah, wait a minute. Prayer is like, you're before the creator, and because of Christ and his blood, and who in here is thankful that Jesus died for our sins and rose again? Anyone in here? Yeah, me too. And because of his death and resurrection, you and I could boldly enter into the throne room of grace, and we can speak to the Father, and we don't have to have somebody else go for us. He's now invited us in. And so we know this, that inside of us, we go, we have a crazy opportunity. And no matter how much we do it, we kind of have this idea like, I know I don't do it enough. Like, I know that it's kind of like working out. How many of you guys know you should work out? Anyone in here? Or eat healthy? Anyone in here? But when it comes to it, it's like, I know I should, but you know. And that's kind of the relationship we have with prayer, where it's like, I know that I could stand before the Father. I know that I could cry out to him and he will hear me. I know that I could praise him. And it's just this, I don't know, this indwelling thing. Like, I know I should do more. And today, my hope is that telling you some of these important things that prayer does to your heart will give you the encouragement today to go home and say, I'm going to make a lifestyle out of this. Now, I'm not going to waste my opportunity to stand before the God of all creation who holds the galaxies in his hands. You know, that's the God we're talking about, who knows the stars by name. Who doesn't just know the grand things? He says, not two birds on this earth will fall without his knowledge. He says in Job that the deer, while they're giving birth, he's with them. Dude, you're involved. And that you and I have an opportunity. So that's my hope today. So I want to talk about what prayer is before we start reading 1 Corinthians, because you're not going to understand why. If you've read ahead, you're going to be like, why are you talking about this? But let me just tell you really quick about what prayer is. We used to do this program. We still do this program. I'm sorry. I used to do this program with my wife, Susanna, called Metro Kids. We still do it today. Leah and Christian, where are you guys at? You guys are killing it. Yeah. They're awesome. And what we would do is we'd go out and we'd do a sidewalk Sunday school. So we'd have a Sunday school class outside. And so we'd be doing this class and we'd always ask all the kids, what is prayer? And everybody would say, talking to God. What is prayer? Talking to God, you know? And we'd have this thing. And so I want to start with that. I want you to look to your neighbor and say, I need to talk to God more. Just tell him that right now. I need to talk to God more. Prayer is talking to him. Speaking. Yeah, I want to put that clear. Speaking to him. Now, I put a lot of emphasis on using your words. How many of you guys like to pray quietly? Okay, if you're anything like me, which maybe I have ADHD, I don't know, you know. I know, but I'm not gonna admit it. You know, if I fake that I don't have it, I don't have it. That's how I feel. That's a What About Bob reference, by the way. All right, anyways. I will be in my mind. I'll be in my head, the little voice in there. It's like, God, thank you so much for what's going on. You're so good. I wonder what's on Instagram right now, you know. Where's Susie? And then it gets quiet for a second in my head. I'm talking about using your words. Prayer is speaking out. We see Daniel in the book of Daniel, surprisingly, praying. And they knew what he was doing because he kneeled down and he spoke out loud towards Jerusalem. That's what he did. And he would speak to the Lord. Jesus says, when you pray, this is what you should say. Everyone say, say. You know why that's important? Because some of us don't really have a prayer life. We have a meditation life. And so we meditate on the Lord. And we go, well, he knows my thoughts. Yeah, I know he knows your thoughts. He knows your heart. He wants to know what comes out of your mouth. And says, man, I want you to have a place of prayer. There's a talking to God. That is what prayer is. And then there's this other side of prayer, which is the communication part, which is listening to God. Now, I don't know, Lydia, I like being distracted. Am I out of light? I'm sorry. I like being distracted. You do too. Have you guys ever been driving and there's an accident? It doesn't matter how small it is. I went by one the other day, 4 cars. I didn't see any damage on any of those cars. Someone just went in insurance. My guy got out holding his back. Like, there's no way. We were stuck in traffic. We weren't moving. But no, he's like, you know, like, it doesn't matter. I want to look at it. Even though I have my life and all my family's life in my hands, I'm doing this. I'm looking. I like being distracted. I love distraction. You do too. You have a project that you got to work on for your work, and your phone's calling your name. Like Lord of the Rings, that little golem in that ring, like, come to me. You know, that's what it feels like, calling you out. We like distraction. But to pay attention to someone else talking is like, for the most part, we could do pretty well as long as they're engaging, right? I mean, you know, I don't know if you guys know this, but I could see your eyeballs, right? And so I get up here, I could tell when I'm engaging or not based on whether or not you're awake. That's like kind of how I measure it. But it's true, like, you know, like it could be kind of hard to do this part of prayer, which is the engaging and leaving room for somebody else to speak to you. Example, the Father, the Spirit of God, saying, I want to talk to you. And the reason why I'm kind of hitting these two things is because prayer is a listening and a speaking. It's a communion with the Father. And why this is incredible to me is that you and I have been given an invitation not to know about God, but to commune with God. And he calls us to do that daily, which only makes sense when you think about it. Like if I was to take like the common average, what we know average prayer life, and I applied that kind of communication to my marriage, how many of you guys would think if your prayer life was exemplified in my marriage, that my marriage would be successful? How many of you guys think that would be like, that would be a good marriage? No one's hands? Mine isn't up either. Because I talk to my wife as much. I'll be here at the church. I'll be doing anything. And I'll be like, I'm going to call Susie. I'll just walk off. I love talking to Susie. Susie's my best friend. That's not cute. That's like, that's the choice of marriage, you jokers. If your husband or wife's not your best friend, check it. That's my best friend. I want to talk to her. I want to tell, like, literally, guys, Susie knows everything about me. You want to know my bathroom schedule? She could call it out. She'll tell you. I've told her if she didn't, wasn't paying attention. Like, I want you to know something. Hey, anyone in here got kids? Isn't it funny that your kid always tells you when they have to go to the restroom? They'll be running to the toilet. I got to go poop. Like, okay, yeah. But my wife knows everything about me. Like, I'm a child. And it's because we spend time in communication. Did you know that's what the Father desires of his church? Is a time of communication. Prayer is that third thing, time. It's not something you just throw out there. No, it's intentional. I can't imagine talking to my wife like some of us do with prayer, where it's just kind of this thrown out thing. You know? I wouldn't talk to her until I almost get into an accident. Susie, oh God, thank you so much. You know? If that was the only time I talked to her, that would be nuts. That wouldn't be relationship. That wouldn't be God with me. That would be God, stay over there until I need you. And so we look at prayer and we recognize, okay, there's a three-part thing. Time, talking, listening. This is prayer. And this is important that we catch this, because in order for our heart to be fully his and to have that transformation, which I'll talk about the three ways prayer changes your hearts, we first have to nail out that's what prayer is. I spend time talking and listening to you. That it's intentional. Like a husband to a wife or a wife to a husband. It's intentional. No, I'm going to cut out time. I don't care how busy I am. My marriage is important. I don't care how busy I am. My relationship with the Father is important. I'm going to cut out some time. I'm going to listen for him. I'm going to cry out with my lips to him. Jesus, you are excellent in all your ways. That's what prayer is. Prayer also is a few more things I want to talk about that aren't so obvious. Listening, talking, time spent. Prayer is also a replacement of the ways of the natural. I'm going to explain this. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to read a scripture that, if you're here for the sex series, you heard me read this a couple times. We're not talking about sex today. Look at it to your neighbor and just give a head nod like, that's good, yeah? It says this in 1 Corinthians 7, 2 through 5. I'm starting with this because you're going to see that prayer is supposed to replace something in your life. Nevertheless, because of sexual immorality, let each man have his own wife, and let each woman have her own husband. Let the husband render to his wife the affection due her, and likewise also the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Do not deprive one another except with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again, so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. I'm reading you that scripture for two reasons. Number one, every married couple I've ever asked this to has never done that before. No married couple I know, unless they just haven't told me yet, maybe you're in this room, you've done it, but every time I ask a married couple, have you ever said no to sex because you were praying? Everyone's like, no, not at all, never. That's crazy, you know? The opportunity comes once a month. I gotta get it, yeah, whatever. And I look at that, and I would say, yeah, you guys are slow on that one. You guys are slow. Stay up. No, but look, man, I look at the scripture, and I think it's actually extremely interesting. He's talking. He's giving instruction to married people and to people who aren't married. He's saying, get married. Get married to your spouse, and then don't hold back. You know, give to one another because you're weak. But he says, but there is this time of replacement that has to happen. That prayer and fasting. We're going to talk about fasting next week, but today let's focus on prayer. Prayer is supposed to replace even something good in your life. Because all of us know the scripture, we'll read this in a minute, that if you have anxiety, that you should replace it with prayer. We know the bad stuff should be replaced with prayer, but prayer is actually supposed to be something that's covering in the place of something else. As in, Lord, I am, no, I'm going to use that one, because I got to stop using that one. Hang on, let me give another one. I was going to say late to work, but no one cares about when I say that. So, Lord, I want to watch TV, but instead I'm going to replace that with prayer. Father, I want to get on my phone and have me time, but prayer's opportunity isn't supposed to be something that all of a sudden you have time for. It's supposed to take the place of something else. And this is why this is important, because so many of us are waiting for prayer to open up to us. Well, I don't have time. No, I don't think you understand. Prayer is a replacement of the natural. Your natural self will never make time to submit before the Father and communicate. It's not going to happen. Prayer is a replacement tool. Let me add to that a little bit. Some of us are looking for freedom from sin, and maybe, you know, sexual immorality, like the scripture says, or freedom from lying, or freedom from whatever, and you thought that the absence of that sin was the key. I want to tell you something. It's not the absence of the sin. It's the presence of prayer in lieu of the sin that gives you freedom. And that's important to understand, that the temptations of Christ were within his prayer time that he had victory over the temptation. Does that make sense? It was in the prayer time that the temptation was where he defeated and said, no, I will not have a part. I'm in my prayer and fasting mode. That prayer is supposed to be a replacement. I want to say it one more time. Stop waiting for prayer to open up to you. You got to start replacing things in your life with prayer. Amen? I don't know who's saying amen, but yes, you got me pumped, dude. Thank you. It's not just the bad things, it's the good things. Oh, actually, let me say this too really quick, because I think this is important. Yeah, I said time. Most of us thought, yeah, okay, 30 minutes a day, an hour. Paul says your prayer and fasting so much so that when you have an opportunity for sex, you should be so deep inside of it that you're going, no, I'm not going to even do that right now. I'm in prayer and fasting. Do you see the length of commitment that takes in prayer in order to deny your spouse from something that's being offered that's healthy and good? You know why I point that out? Because you and I think sufficient time in prayer is 30 minutes. Some of us, that's a dream, 30 minutes straight of prayer. Or sufficient time in prayer, if you're real wild, is like, what was that old revivalist, Ravenhill? 4 hours every morning. He said he gets more done in his 4 hours of prayer than you do in 24 hours in a day. And that to us is like, that's crazy. But when Paul says, dude, when you're in prayer and fasting, let it be so. That's the only time you say, if you do the math, you try to figure out, well, if I prayed for, you know, 6 hours, we're not doing it that much, you know. That's crazy. I know it's fasting too, but I want you to catch that. The time part isn't something you just put in your schedule. It's something that you replace. And I want to go back to one more thing just to give some clarity. I do not cut out 30 minutes for my wife, and that's all I give to her. That's a bad marriage. You know that. No, no, it's, I will give you my whole day whenever you call my name. And then if you don't call my name, I'm coming to you. You call my phone. I want to answer it. And I know, honey, if you're in here, I know I don't always answer your phone calls, but I'm getting better. Prayer is a replacement of the natural. Prayer is also something that the enemy wants to keep you from. Acts chapter 16 through 18. You probably never knew this. Now it happened as we went to prayer. Everyone say prayer. That a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her master much profit by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaimed to us the way of salvation. And this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, everyone say it's okay to get annoyed. Go ahead and say it's okay to get annoyed. Turned and said to the spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that very hour. You know what I love about the scripture? I've known about that story. But I didn't realize the demon-possessed girl attacked when they decided to start praying. Look at that. Now it happened when we went to prayer that a certain slave girl showed up. When I went to my dedicated time at the synagogue to lift my hands and speak and listen to the Father, that's when the demon-possessed woman showed up. You know, I think about this scripture all the time. All right, time. Let me backtrack for a second. Some of us, as soon as we get attacked by the enemy, we start saying, I quit. Soon as like things aren't going, I know too many people who have a circumstantial relationship with God that when things are good, fasting's easy. When things are good, showing up to prayer night is easy. When things are good, going into a Bible study with the fellowship is easy. But when things get tough, all of a sudden you start self-isolating. You start pulling away. I don't want to be with the brethren right now. Prayer just doesn't seem to work. I want to talk and listen to somebody else, not the Father of all creation. I want to find something else. But the scripture makes it clear, man, even Jesus in his fasting and prayer, that's when Satan showed up. You want to know something about your prayer life? The enemy is trying to keep you from it. And I'm not saying that as a goody-good church dialogue. I'm saying you have the opportunity to speak to the enemy of hell. You think they're going to let you slide with that? You think they're going to let you slide with that? I know men, not kingdoms of darkness who understand the spiritual things. I know men who will not let you get away with wearing a certain color. And you think our enemy is going to let you get away with just trying to pray to the God of all creation and have communion with him as if you're back in the Garden of Eden again? No. He is against it. Prayer is an invitation to the enemy to come at you. Do you ever think about that? So many of us are going, man, I want to have a better prayer life. And I'm going, well, you better wake up because you're going to let some demons come in to taunt you a little bit. And let me say something else. Too many of us have dismissed the spiritual warfare, and you really made about flesh and blood. And what I mean by that, thank you for asking. What I mean by that is that you've been so consumed by the outside political world, by the outside social media, and you're literally consumed. You've made enemies of actual people in your life. Every single president has ever been, I'm watching Christians knocking the president. That guy's ruining everything. Bro, he's not your enemy. You got a spiritual enemy. It's not flesh and blood. Like, hey, listen, go vote. Do what you want. Have a party. Great. I vote. I think it's fun to vote because you get a sticker. I'm an easy man. I'm looking at this going, yeah, you forgot that you are not fighting flesh and blood. You're fighting spiritual powers, principalities. Prayer is where the enemy comes in at you. Now, these next three parts, I got to go fast. I was already planning on this being a fast sermon. That's what prayer is. Prayer is time, talking, listening. Prayer is a replacement method. And lastly, prayer invites the enemy to attack you. I should say the enemy wants to attack you when you pray. So what does prayer do to the heart? Why would the enemy be against it? Why would the Father want you to come in? These are the three things, if you're taking note, what prayer does to your heart. Number one, it humbles you. Look at you and say, look at your neighbor and say, get humbled. Go ahead and tell them that right now. Get humbled. You didn't say it to nobody. Okay, there you go. Okay, I saw that. Get humbled. Scripture says this very clearly, that the humble, they will receive the grace of God. But the prideful, he will resist. Everyone say resist. I want you to say that for a second. Resist. You know what that means? That means pushes up against you. Pushes, like, that resist isn't like, you can't, resist is like, no, I'm against you. I'm pushing. I'm going forces against you. Now, how many times has someone ever told you God is against you? Probably never. You would be offended if someone said, hey, the Lord resists you. But he says, those who have pride in their life, those who are who I resist. Not the ones who think they're so good at basketball and they're just mediocre. Not those pride. And the one who lifts themselves up thinking that they have the solution for all their worries. For those who believe that they're in control of their future. That's a simple one that you forgot about, that God said, don't worry about tomorrow. That's mine. And the prideful says, well, let me make sure I got tomorrow figured out. Listen, I'm all about planning and have a good time. But James says, just remember, it's still his. And you could say, yeah, I'll plan for tomorrow if God allows it, but it's still his. I give it to him. Now, this is my plan. But he's still the God. Humility is through prayer. I love 2 Chronicles 7:14. He says, man, you know, this is the call to the nation to repent. He says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and will forgive them their sin and heal their land. I love that scripture. It's been used a million different times in politics and all sorts of stuff. But why I love this scripture is because he says something. If you humbled yourself and prayed. Like you're not going to come to me and listen for my advice until you get to the place that you realize that my advice is better for you than everyone else's around you. You're not going to speak to me about your problems until you recognize that I'm going to be the solution to your problems, until you recognize my position. So when I say prayer humbles you, I could say it on the opposite too. You got to be humble to pray. And so I'm looking around the room and saying, well, who's going to humble themselves and say, okay, I'm going to start pushing them into the Lord? What if I told you it's your pride that keeps you from prayer? That's not so pretty, because we like to say, well, I'm busy. I do pray throughout the day. I love that, because if you clocked it, it's like 30 seconds throughout the whole day. You said, like, Jesus saved me when you slid, and then that was about it. No. What if I told you the thing that keeps you from prayer is your pride? In order to actually be someone who has a heart that's humbled, you got to do something. It's like those medicines that you take if you get infected, but you also take to prevent infection. It's like prayer. Well, then let me go to pray so that I could be humbled and see who you are. Let me spend my time and cut it out and listen for your word, that I might be corrected again about what your position is in my life. Oh, let me sit in your word. Let me tell you my problems. Not tell everyone else my problems. Let me tell you in the secret place my problems. Oh, humble me, God. You want your heart to be humbled? Make prayer a practice in your life. Prayer, second thing. Prayer aligns your hearts. How many of you guys got great dreams and visions? Anyone in here? I got dreams and visions, man. When I was 15 years old, I was going to go into the NBA. Did you know that? This guy right here. I had it. I watched every Michael Jordan video. I could do it. I could dunk a tennis ball at 16. I was on the path. I had dreams. I had visions. And what I would do, and this is like a small story of my teenage years, but I would tell the Lord, Lord, I'm going to be an NBA player for you. That's what I'm going to do for you. And I remember the Spirit of the Lord speaking to me saying, no, you're going to obey me. No. You're going to get me to the NBA and I'm going to proclaim you. No, you're going to obey me. I didn't ask for proclamation. I asked for obedience. Now I remember, like, Okay. And then you know where my heart lined up with the Father? I love this in my own personal life. Was when I decided I wanted to talk to him and I wanted him to speak to me. Humility entered in. My heart aligned. And this is a small story, but 16, I decided to say, okay, I'll align with you. What do you want? Not what I want. What do you want? You know why there's so many Christians running to and fro, not walking in the presence or the will of the Father? Obedience is like this far-fetched thing that they hardly ever have to deal with because they don't have the voice of the Lord in their life. They don't have a place of prayer. They don't know what God's telling them to do because they're not sitting with him to hear him even speak. And when he does speak, they have too much pride to listen. But God, I know the better way. Just give me money and I'll be happy, you know? Just give me the promotion, then this will work out. And the Father says, no. Let your heart be aligned. I love this scripture in Matthew chapter 6, verse 21. These are my last two scriptures I got for you. It says this, man, Jesus speaking on the mount. He says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. He says, what you value is where your heart will be. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. If I said, raise of hands, how many guys value Jesus? Everyone's hands go whoop, way up, right? We all do that. But he says, what you treasure, that's where your heart will be. That's where your center will be. That's what you'll be focused on. That's what you're going to spend your time on. Where you treasure that. He says, if you put your alignment with me, then you'll spend time with me. It's the same thing as with humility. It's the cure and the prevention. Father, I want to be aligned with you. Prayer gets your heart in the place of going, God, what you want, I want. Lastly, this is a lesson I learned from my mama. I love my mama. Every morning, I would try to wake up earlier than her. I couldn't do it. It would be 4 a.m. Why was I waking up at 4 a.m.? I don't know, okay? But I'd get about 4 a.m. and I'd go upstairs and there would be a lamp on, my mom with her little grandma glasses on, writing in her journal, reading the word and praying. And every time I sat with her, every time I woke up, my mom doesn't know this, but there was times I didn't want to see her because I knew she was going to talk to me about Jesus. And how many of you guys have ever woke up in the morning and just didn't want anyone to talk to you? You guys ever been there? 4 o'clock in the morning or 6 o'clock in the morning when I was getting ready for school, no matter what, I'd find my mom in the same chair reading and praying. And My mom's a wild bird, okay? I don't know if you guys know this, but she used to be a hippie. She used to beat people up. Did you know that? You think I'm joking? I watched her beat someone up one time. I'm not going to get into the details, but I saw it in my house. It wasn't my dad. She wasn't abusing my dad. You don't know what I'm about. Old mom. She was saved, but that's the old saved mom. She's the new saved. She was a gangster. She was. She decided, I can't live any day without my father. She cut out prayer in her life every single day. It was actually one of the biggest lessons in my life was the importance of prayer. Every day she would have scriptures that the Lord would be speaking to her through, stuck up on the refrigerator. You guys heard me preach whole sermons on sermons I've learned from the refrigerator at my mom's house. You really have. The one about complaining, I think that was like a 6-year lesson God was teaching her because it was on the refrigerator every, or she was trying to teach me a lesson. I don't know who she was teaching. But this one, Philippians chapter 4, 6 through 7. This point, I got to learn from my moms. I want to give credit there. Prayer conquers your mind. Prayer conquers your mind. This is where I'm ending. This is where I'm going to land. But I want to read this to you. Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Okay. I love reading the word and you guys getting pumped. That's real Christianity right there. That's what I'm talking about. You see that? You see what prayer did? It guards the heart and the mind. It conquers anxiety. Let me tell you what anxiety is real quick. Anxiety is fear of what might be. That's across the board. It might have been, you know, have you guys ever had anxiety after a conversation and all you're thinking about is what did they think about the conversation? What might be? Anxiety is a what might be. You know what he says? He says, this is how you get your heart lined up. Because let me tell you about what might be is. It's a problem with trust. That's what it is. It's a problem with trust. All anxiety, and I'm saying this, hey, listen, I know that there's a medical, I get that, I understand that there's a brain thing, but I don't know about you. I want to be someone who stands on the word and say, I don't know what everyone else is saying, but I know what God says. And I look at the scripture, I go, man, prayer. Maybe that's too simplified for our knowledgeable minds. But prayer and thanksgiving will give you peace that surpasses all the knowledge you might have, all the understanding you might have, and it will guard your hearts and mind. You want a transformed heart? You got to be someone who says, I'm not going to be worried about the future. I'm going to trust you, God. Let me come into the place where I cut out time and I speak to you with all my problems and I listen to you, Holy One. Let me replace my anxiety with sitting in your presence. Oh, let me just push that to the side because I want my heart to change. Because I'm not going to lie to you. I don't want to be the church that has great words but wicked hearts. I don't want to be the church that can sing the song and dance around. And listen, if you're your first time here, we like to dance. I think you caught that. At least 6 of us do. Yeah, we like to get wild, but I don't want to be the one that has a wicked heart. There's these scriptures, man. It talks about in the Bible, man. Okay, yeah, I'm out of time, but deal with it. There's these scriptures in the Bible. He says to his children, he says, man, you tell me I'm good, but your hearts are far away from me. You're still centered on everything else. You're still looking at everything else in the world, and that's what you get mad about. That's my phone. It's no longer this. Isn't that crazy? Yeah, this is cool, but this is phone. Now, this is your heart. What you're consumed with? What gives you worry and anxiety? What's flooding you? Those fears. That's the exposure of your heart. And so many of us, we're going, yeah, man, I'm a Christian. And we're lacking the one thing that's there to form your heart unto the Father, to align with Him, to get you to the place of humility that you would be able to lower yourself and walk through the gate of Christ into His kingdom. That part of prayer that's there for you to know His word and to speak to Him all your supplications. Like, let me just say it this way. Christianity that lacks prayer is a fake Christianity. That's what that is. And too long we've made prayer, and I should talk about the scriptures, but we'll talk about that later. We've made prayer this extracurricular thing to your Christian walk. So many believers don't have prayer replacing anything except when they have nothing. I'm gonna just tell you, don't fool yourself. You need some humility, hit some prayer. Your heart needs to get lined up with Him. It's found in prayer. Your mind has too much authority over you. You gotta get some prayer in your life. You gotta cut some time out. You gotta start saying, Father, this is where I am today. Father, I gotta talk to you. You gotta get to the place where you got some time saying, but Father, I want you to speak to me. And when you call me, I won't be like Pastor Tommy when his wife calls. I will answer every time. I want to know you. This is not a fruit of the Spirit. This is the digging of the roots down into the soil. This is prayer. And it could no longer be something that you go a day without. For my married people, you know that. You can't go a day without at least something. You can't go 2 days. You go a week, you probably got divorce papers coming. Yet we all do that with the Father. You give me all the access. Your son died. You give me your spirit. I can enter into your presence. Here I am, Father. I'm in your presence. I can't believe I skipped this for 30 years, Father. But here I am. I want to cut out. I don't care what I'm replacing. Man, that seems important. But you know what? It can't be nearly as important as this moment right now. I trust you. Here's all my anxieties. I know that you will care for me. I know you're a good Father. I trust you. I will replace whatever's going on. I'm going to listen to you. Align my heart before you, God. Oh, Jesus, get my mind and heart guarded. Prayer, Father, make it part of our lives. Will you stand to your feet as I end this thing? I want to pray over you. If you can bow your heads, close your eyes. Now, I had to go right into this sermon after all those videos and great stuff. I'm so glad that we're doing all these great things, but it would be a waste if you, my brother and my sister, my fellow brethren, if you left this place and you knew more about the ministry of the Dream Center Church brand, if you left this place being more celebrated about the mothers in this house, even though it's a beautiful holiday and I love the mothers and I love those who desire to be moms, by the way, can I recognize you? We love you. This is a great day, but it would be a waste if you left this place and you didn't have a heart to go and sit with the Father today. It would be a waste. Today would be a wasted day. All the songs we sung, all the words and breath I wasted on this microphone would be wasted if you don't have a heart today to say prayer will be a thing that I cut out for, that I replace other things with, and I proclaim to the Father His goodness as He speaks back to me. It would be wasted if you gone home today. So this is what I want to do. If you're in this house, you go, man, I don't want to waste it. Will you pray over me, just encouragement? Will you pray that the Spirit of the Lord will be alive in me, that conviction would flood my heart, that prayer would become a priority? I want you to put your hand up real high. Father, these hands right here, every one of them, God, I pray that you, Jesus, your Holy Spirit, the Father, the blood tore that curtain, allowed that Holy Spirit to be in this room today. I pray that that Holy Spirit convicts my brothers, my sisters. Oh, Jesus, that their hearts might be lined up with you. Oh, Jesus, that their mind and heart might be conquered and guarded. Oh, Father, that they might be humbled before you. I pray, Jesus, that prayer, speaking with you, cutting out time, listening to you, would become a priority in their walk. Oh, Father, forgive us for letting prayer be some side objective. God, I pray that it would become the center of our lives. That, Father, like that scripture we read, the married people, that, Father, we'd be so entrenched in prayer that we'd actually have the opportunity to say, no, not tonight. We got to set ourselves to the side. The Father is in the room today with us. They'd be so drenched with prayer, Father, like we'll talk about in 2 weeks, that their words, Father, speak life. And not because they chose nice words, but from their heart is life. Jesus, we pray this in your Son's holy name. And Father, I pray tonight, as their home, conviction fills their hearts, that you would lead them to the secret place, that they'd be full of prayer. I pray tomorrow morning at 4 a.m., 3 a.m., just like my mama, I pray that men and women would be waking up, Father, saying, God, I want you in this moment. I don't care about sleep. Let me replace it with prayer. Father, we be a people who know you, and you know us, humbled, aligned, and conquered. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Hey, keep your heads bowed for a second longer. If you're in this house and you've never given your life to Jesus, I want to give you this opportunity today. He will transform you. He'll take every sin that you've ever committed. This is so crazy. And he will wash you clean. You will be able to stand before the Father blameless in the righteousness of Jesus. And I want to give you an opportunity to come to him today. And I'm not going to have you stand on the stage. I'm not going to, you know, make everyone look at you. I just want you to raise your hand real high, but not just yet, because maybe you're in this room and at some point in life, you had used to follow Jesus and you backslid. And I don't need to explain backslidden to backslidden people. You know what it is. You walked away. And maybe in your head it was justified, but there's this thing inside of you that's just been itching. It's just been poking at you to come back. Well, today I want to give you an opportunity. It says in scriptures that if you come back to him, he will receive you. He will receive you. He will wash you just like the first time he washed you. He will clothe you just like the first time you were born again. He will reclothe you. He will celebrate you. So if you're in this house, you've never given your life to the Lord, or maybe at some point you did give your life to the Lord, but you walked away and today you want to come home, all I want you to do is put your hand up real high. Come on. Come on. Come on. Thank you. Come on. I love it. For the in-house and those online, is what we're going to do. I want you to hear me when I say this. The Father is excited about this moment. We're going to pray a little prayer. This prayer can mean everything or it can mean nothing. It comes down to your heart. But what we're going to do, everyone in this building, we're all going to pray, because maybe someone wasn't strong enough to raise their hand. So we're going to repeat this prayer. I want you to say it with all your might. I want you to mean it with all your heart. Church, can we all repeat this prayer after me? Dear Father, I need you right now. Come into my heart. Change me. Make me new. I'm yours. And today, Father, I declare, I believe that your Son died on the cross and rose again. I believe he's sitting on a throne. And today, I declare, I'm yours. Change me. Make me new. In the name of Jesus, we pray. We all say, I went over time. Forgive me. Don't go anywhere, because there's announcements, and moms, we want to give you some stuff. But it says this in scripture, for everyone who gives their life to the Lord, there's a celebration in heaven. And church, they can't hear it right now, but will you show those who raise their hand what it sounds like in heaven?